Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to start our series looking into Native American service in the United States military, visit with the Marine Corps League, and recognize another milestone for Minnesota Military Radio. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
From the halls of Montezuma to the mountains of Afghanistan, United States Marines have served valiantly in our nation's conflicts. Marines, past and present, have earned their place within its proud culture of traditions, symbols, and values. On November 10th, the Marines celebrate their 238th birthday. The date was established as Marine Corps holiday in 1921 and carries many traditions. Marines around the world will celebrate with the reading of a birthday message from the Commandant, the cutting of a birthday cake by the commanding officer, and a presentation of the first and second pieces of cake to the oldest and youngest Marines present. Marines have fought, lived, and died with honor, and continue the Marine Corps legacy of service to our nation. Semper Fidelis became the Marine Corps' motto in 1883. It guides Marines to remain faithful to their mission at hand, to each other, to the Corps, and to country, no matter what. Once a Marine, always a Marine, they say. Congratulations on the proud tradition of the United States Marines.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the start of the show, this is the Native American Indian Heritage Month, and I think it's important to point out that historically, American Indians have the highest record of military service per capita when compared to other ethnic groups. The reasons are deeply rooted in traditional cultural values that drive them to serve their country. These include a proud warrior tradition, best exemplified by the following qualities said to be inherent to most, if not all, Native American societies: strength, honor, pride, devotion, and wisdom. These qualities closely correlate with military tradition. During World War I, more than 8,000 American Indian soldiers served. In World War II, 25,000 American Indians and Alaska Native men and women fought. In the Korean War, there are an estimated to be 10,000 Native Americans who served. And in Vietnam, there were 42,000 American Indians that served during the course of that conflict, and 90% of them were volunteers. And there's an interesting fact that we thought we'd throw out. In the Navy has a disproportionately large number of Native Americans. Almost 50% of Navy service members served in the Navy, compared to 14% of all other service members from other ethnicities. And join me today to help us inaugurate this special series on Native American Indian Heritage Month is Trudell Guru, who is a member of the, grew up as a member of the Lakota Sioux, and grew up at the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. He was going to go to Dartmouth College, but got derailed on that and attended Artillery Officer Candidate School and was commissioned at the age of 20. He spent time in Germany before going to Vietnam and ultimately reached the rank of captain after being wounded in action while serving as an artillery forward observer with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. At that time, he was accepted in Dartmouth, the class of 1974, later received a law degree from Notre Dame. His accomplishments and loyalties to his native heritage describe the man as the man he is. He is a dedicated advocate for equal justice under the law and has been called by his colleagues a guiding light. As an attorney, he's responsible for the legal representation of clients at the Legal Rights Center, a nonprofit poverty and criminal defense law firm in Hennepin County, Minnesota. He was an associate judge and then chief judge for the South Dakota Intertribal Court of Appeals and was chief judge for the Rosebud Sioux Tribal Court. He also represented the Social Justice Award at Dartmouth for significant contributions to the fields of civil rights, education, environmental justice, public service, and public health. Trudell, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Geez, I want to meet that guy.
Are you sure you did all of this stuff in your life? You must be about 150 years old.
Oh, I feel 200. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me here.
Well, we know that you're probably about my age because we both served in Vietnam. Can you tell us, I think it's amazing that Native Americans serve in the military at a much, much higher percentage than the rest of the population. Why do you suppose that is?
I think that it's because we have a very, very strong warrior ethic all across the country, all across the continent. They're small peoples. They were not big, big populations, and the men had to do the protecting, and it was a sacred duty to protect your people. And now we do the same thing for this country. This is our land, and many people feel like we're exiles in our land, but we will support this country. We will fight for this country.
And we've seen that through all the wars that your people have served. And I noticed one thing, Trudell, I think I shared with you before we went on the air, that last summer we were invited to go up to a veterans powwow up in Cloquet. And so we went out there and we watched the festivities and all the people that came together. And from a non-Native American, it looked to me like at that powwow, they were treating their veterans in very high regard.
That is across the country. That when I was growing up, if you didn't serve, you were not quite complete. And if you served, you were a complete man. And that denigrates some people, I guess, but I'm sorry for that, but you serve.
Part of your culture, so you recognize those who have served and those who did the things that were expected.
Yes, very much.
I want to just read one other thing, if you allow me. And we got this in some of our research for Native American Heritage Month. It said that Native Americans have served in this nation's military with great courage and distinction. Native Americans have fought in every war since the nation's founding and have taken their rightful place as heroes in the nation's history. Today, more than 4,000 soldiers of American Indian or Alaska Native descent serve in the Army. They are valued members of the Army team who continue a long legacy of professionalism, selfless service, dignity, and respect. And 24 Native Americans have earned the Medal of Honor for courage and devotion to this nation, the highest medal that the nation can give out, and your people have earned a lot of them. You've got to be pretty happy with that, sir.
I am. I'm very proud of them.
But Trudell, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I want to dig in just a little bit.
Sure.
When you, you were going to go to Dartmouth College and were not accepted, and then you decided to go into the military. How did that come about?
I applied only to Dartmouth, and they rightfully said, no, you are not good enough to come here. And the war was on, and I needed to get to the war. So I graduated on June 5, 1966. I was enlisted on June 30. I had the good fortune to be able to make it through jump school. I'm very, very proud of the fact that I'm a paratrooper. It was a duty, and I'm it changed my life completely. The process of getting killed is eye opening, and that happened on June 5 of 1969, and it made me appreciate life so much. I had a chance to see three of my children born, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle that we are who we are.
That we went to Vietnam and we survived and we had children and we're still here.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me, I understand you served as a forward observer with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. How was that duty, sir?
I was fortunate to be allowed to stay out longer than most. When I got blown up, I was the senior field lieutenant in the brigade. I FO'd for 5 months with Dog Company 4th 503rd, and then 2 months with A Company 2nd 503rd. A Company was called No Deros Alpha. You went to the A Company 2nd Bat 503rd. You're going home in a body bag or on a stretcher, and it's true still.
And Deros stood for the date that you were coming home, so No
right.
Deros meant.
You're not.
That's not good. That's not good. But Trudeau, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to pick up the story, your story in Vietnam, and see what happened there. So we have to take a short break. We're talking to Trudell Grow on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On this segment, we're going to continue our discussions. As you know, we're honoring the Native American Indian Heritage Month, and we have a special guest with us today. who served as a captain in the Army in Vietnam. He's a Native American. He's a graduate of Dartmouth and Notre Dame Law School. He worked for a long time in the Legal Rights Center, nonprofits serving poverty and criminal defense law here in Hennepin County. And he also served as a chief judge for the South Dakota Intertribal Court of Appeals and a chief judge for the Rosebud Sioux Tribal Court. And, of course, my friend's name is Trudell Gros, Jr. And Trudell, before we went to break, we were talking about your experience in Vietnam, where you served as a artillery forward observer with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. And how long were you in Vietnam?
8 months.
And what year?
November 16 of 68 to June 5 of 69.
And your exit came rather abruptly because you because you got blown up.
Yeah. It was something
that you weren't expecting.
Actually, no. I had a harbinger. There's a harbinger back home who cries, and she cried for me the night I was going to leave. So I knew I was going to. I thought I was going to be dead, and frankly, I was. I spent 14 months in the hospital afterwards.
You did get blown all to heck.
Yes, I did.
Now, you were telling me a story when we were on break before that happened, February 1969, and you were talking about the recon sergeant. Can you tell me that again?
Sure. This man's name was James R. Smith, Wyandanch, New York, and he knew me from Germany. I didn't know him, and I inherited him as my RTO, the guy who carried my radio, and he took care of me, and a week before he was killed, we were on stand down, and he asked, he came, I went to the Class 6 store, Class 6 meaning the liquor store. He wasn't he was ineligible to do that because he was a Spec 4. And
you were a lieutenant at the time?
I was a lieutenant at the time, yeah. And so he came up to me, and he said, Redleg, can you go to the Class 6 store for me? And I said, Smitty, it's closed. And I asked him what was going on. And he said, well, I just talked to my wife on the Mars Network, and she just gave birth to our daughter, Sonia, and I was hoping to get something to toast my daughter's birth with my friends. And I said, Smitty, I've got two bottles of good German Moselle. Is that good enough? And on that stand down, he was promoted. All of our RTOs and fourth bat we got new ones, or old ones became our recon sergeants. And a week later, two of them are dead, including Smitty. That's but I'm really glad to have had a chance to take part. And I wasn't there, but I was able to help him celebrate the birth of his daughter. And he never saw her. She was born a week before he was killed.
But you were able to share that moment with him.
Oh, yeah.
Half a world away.
Oh, boy.
You'll never forget that, will you?
Jeez. It's got me shaking now.
Good memory. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to come back with us.
He's alive in my heart.
That's what's most important, isn't it? Well, now, let's get back to your service over there. You've told me a couple of times you got blown up.
We surrounded we got word that there was a VC district meeting going on in this little village of Kim Jiao. It's right on the South China Sea. So we came in at night, surrounded them, and there was a brutal beating of a little girl who happened to be the district chief's sister. Really brutal. She finally told him where he was, and it was in a tunnel underneath their little hut. So our guys broke into it, and they were getting all the munitions out. And I very stupidly was standing right there. My captain was close by. I had to stay close to my captain just in case. And one of the VC had pulled the pin on a grenade, and all the stuff was piling up, and I was standing right beside it. I saw this grenade coming. I majored in Russian in college because I wanted to know who those people were, because it was too well made to be Chinese, and it was too big and different colored to be ours. I saw it coming, saw the flash. Instantaneously had to accept the fact that I was dead. And I remember thinking, I just hope it doesn't take too long because I don't want to hurt. And then I got sent to Letterman Army Hospital, which no longer exists in San Francisco.
So you actually came back from Vietnam?
Yeah.
To heal up from your wounds?
Yeah.
Did you then go back to Vietnam?
No, I the worst day of my life. My doctor had been measuring me, and he said, one day he came in and he used to call me by my nickname. And he said, come in here, Captain. And we went into this little room. There was a table. And there were three doctors. I believe one was a colonel and two captains. Captain Mullen was my surgeon. And he sat down and read all the stuff that had happened to me to the board. And then he said, this officer is no longer fit for duty. I broke my heart. Hurts me now.
Your wish at that time was to have served for many decades.
Forever. I was born to be a paratrooper.
But the injuries prevented that from happening.
No, they made it stop, yeah.
So a terrible day, and you had to start thinking, what's next?
Yeah, I actually went to law school, so I, with the possibility of going back in as a JAG. And then I realized I couldn't be a paratrooper if I went in as JAG. I couldn't be a paratrooper ever again anyway. You kind of have good hands to pull in the risers.
We're speaking with Trudell Guru on Minnesota Military Radio. And Trudell, you know, at that point, you've decided to become a lawyer and help other people.
I am stuck with this having to repay for all of the good things that have been, all the good things that have been given to me. Incredible opportunity, you know, incredible education, which was impossible for me when I was thinking about it as a child. So I've been trying to repay. I'm doing my penance.
And that's why, as an attorney, that you joined the Legal Rights Center?
Yes.
Which was a nonprofit, poverty and criminal defense law firm in Hennepin County here in Minnesota.
Yes.
And how long did you serve over there?
A little over 20 years.
Must have seen an awful lot of cases in 20 years, Trudell.
Well, I know the metro by crime scene and courts. I still wake up thinking about I should have done this or that for this particular person or that person. And it's those people who do that, those public defenders and those prosecutors, they're some really good people.
And nobody talks about them, do they?
No. No.
You've had quite a life, quite a career in the military, and then 20 years of helping people who didn't have anyone else to turn to. Looks to me like you've done a pretty darn good job, sir.
I'm glad you think so.
And now you're retired.
I am.
And how do you spend your days in retirement? I can't believe you're just sitting around.
I do a lot of reading. This summer I've gone back to South Dakota. Geez, I've been back 7 times since the beginning of July. Getting some land set up out there to build another house where I grew up.
So you do stay busy.
Too much driving. I used to love to drive, but I don't want to drive anymore.
And it's getting tougher and tougher to drive in the Twin Cities, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trudell, your story is fascinating. Your life has been full, let's say, of a lot of things, and you've had a lot of experiences. If some young Native American tribal members were to ask you today, should I serve in the military, what would you tell them?
Damn right.
That's some of the best years of your life, sir?
The best years of my life.
And you made a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And unfortunately lost a few as well.
Yes.
But Trudell, we're pleased to have you stop by and come in the studio today and share your story with us and with our listeners on 36 stations all over Minnesota. And we hope we get a chance to have you back in the studio sometime in the future.
If you would like me back, I'll be back.
All right, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was Trudell Guru joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to remind our listeners that November 1st is the beginning of Native American Indian Heritage Month. And each week this month on the show, we're going to interview one of our Native American heroes that served in the United States military, and this was just the first. So stay tuned. Come back and see us. When we return, we're going to meet with the Marine Corps League, and after that, in the fourth segment, we'll recognize another milestone for Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is North Hennepin Community College. North Hennepin Community College is one of the largest and most diverse community colleges in Minnesota. They serve more than 10,000 students and offer more than 60 degree and certificate programs. North Hennepin Community College is committed to being a military-friendly campus. A new Veterans Resource Center has been created to provide a space for veterans to study, relax, and receive access to support resources. Many of the degrees and certificates offered at the college give credit for prior military training and experience. The college has also made a commitment to hire veteran employees to bring their military leadership experiences into the workplace. North Hennepin Community College became the 52nd Yellow Ribbon Company on August 24, 2016, and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the Commandant from the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I am honored to be with you this week as we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day around the state and nation. Veterans Day is truly a day to celebrate. Join us on November 11th at the Invergrove Heights Community Center for a Veterans Day celebration. Visit minnesotaveteran.org for more information. On Veterans Day, we celebrate the humble men and women who understand the call of duty, the meaning of honor, and the values of this nation. They did not serve for glory or fame. They served to preserve our way of life. For this, we honor them as America's finest citizens. It is because of our veterans who defended our country and embody its purpose and vision that we continue to be a prosperous and free nation. To our veterans listening, on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it is my honor to say thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Now, we know that we have a Marine in the studio due to the red shirt and the red cap. And joining me now is the Commandant from the Marine Corps League from the state of Minnesota, Department Commandant, Jerry Walters. Jerry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so very much, Tom, for having me.
Jerry, maybe you can tell me, we met with the other leaders of the other veteran service organizations a couple of weeks ago, and they all call the top guy the commander. But yes. Here comes the United States Marine Corps, and it's Commandant.
Well, you know, we're that group that has to be a little bit different. No. It's starting in 1775. Coming up next week will be our 241st anniversary. But it's just carried on through that the head man of a major group is called the Commandant.
Yeah, the Marine Corps has always had a special relationship with the Navy, haven't they?
Oh, yes, they have. They're like we kiddingly say, well, maybe I should be the one saying that. I kiddingly say that someone had to get us where we're going here when in times of need. And unfortunately, they don't have wheels on all those ships, and they get a little rough. But they still are. We still they're our main means of transportation.
So when the Navy guys come in and say the Marine Corps wouldn't be anywhere without us, they're kind of right, aren't they?
Well,
they haul you around a little bit.
I'll bow out of that one.
Well, Jerry, clearly you're a Marine. You've been on the show before. Can you tell us a little bit about your military service?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. Oh, by the way, this is one of those few times when I can say, where's that Tom and Jerry here, and with you and me, and I was wondering who was who here. Who's the mouse and who's the rat here, or the cat. But anyway, no, I served and enlisted in 1958 and was honorably discharged in 1964 and proudly served active and in the reserves on my tour of duty. I spent almost three full years in the Mojave Desert out in California, but you didn't get transferred if they didn't think they needed you somewhere else, and you did what they told you to do. And my major role, besides being, as all Marines are, infantrymen and being trained that way yearly in maneuvers and so forth, I was in the Marine Band, base band at 29 Palms, California, and I enjoyed every minute of it. There's always times when you wonder what you're doing right or wrong, but I enjoyed it all.
Somebody had to be in the band, and the Marine Corps band, and the Army, and all the services have a band, and they serve a great purpose. And so you got lucky. But as you said, first you were trained as an infantryman, and if you needed to do that, you could do that. And also, if the medics needed help and you were in the vicinity, you had to do that too.
That's right. At that time, and I don't know the logistics of the modern-day Corps, I'll call it that today, we're all Marines, but in my day, the bandsmen served as helping out the Navy corpsmen who were the medics for the Marine Corps as litter bearers and whatever else they needed us to do.
We're speaking with Jerry Walters, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, we better get down to business. The Marine Corps League, it's one of our veteran service organizations. It's a member of the Commander's Task Force. You're the top state official for the Marine Corps League. Can you tell us what's the mission of the Marine Corps League?
Well, the mission of the Marine Corps League is, first and foremost, is Marines helping Marines and veterans. First would be the Marines helping Marines, of course, and then we know once we're discharged, we're all Marines, are all veterans, and we honor all branches of the Marine Corps. I'd like to make one thing a little clear right now. We're called the Marine Corps League. That does not mean that all members are Marines. We have members from all branches of the service as associate members. They have all the rights and privileges and voting power except holding one of the four top offices, which are elected. There's more than that they can serve in. But they respect what we do, and they want to help, and we want to help them, and we work together to make to do what we want to do for veterans and kids and the public.
And how many members and how many detachments around the state?
We have 14 detachments right now, with two more in the process of starting, possibly a third one. They're scattered all the way from Alexandria down to Rochester and everywhere in between. There's several right around here in the Twin Cities area. We have approximately, I'd say, a little over 700 members that I can say off the top of my head. I don't have all those latest numbers myself.
And you belong to the detachment up in Nisswa?
No, actually, the detachment is based in Brainerd, Minnesota, Heartland Detachment.
Okay. Now, do the local detachments have some participation in the communities where they support some community events and things?
Yes, they do. I think every detachment that I'm aware of does something for the community, for the veterans' special days, the Veterans Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, and so forth, Flag Day, and others, supporting the community, helping out with the parades and whatever else needs to be, the individual celebrations, working with the area's churches and so forth for honoring our past veterans and with our honor guards and so forth. Presenting colors at athletic events for high schools, professional organizations, or wherever the need may be, we're trying to be there to help out.
And you're always looking for younger members.
Oh, yes. That's high in my priority myself.
Now, Jerry, you come together with the other veteran service organizations, such as Disabled American Veterans, American Legion, VFW, Purple Hearts, in a group that's called the Commander's Task Force.
That is correct. There's nine of the major organizations that combine together.
And you work on, you coordinate efforts, and you work on some legislative items for the each year up at the Hill.
Yes, we do. We have already completed just about all of what we have, our priority items that we think veterans should have. And this is a compilation of not just the Marines, but I gather what I hear from other veterans in my area as well, and all of us get together with our particular needs and come up with a set of a program and set of individual items that we would like to see the legislature help our veterans with, whether it be the disabled veterans or just helping the veteran, period. And right now there aren't that many veterans that are in the legislative processes at the Capitol, so it's a little more difficult trying to do a little coercion out there when we only represent about 7% or so of the population, but we think it's worth a try.
And my understanding is far fewer of our elected officials, both at the state legislature or the Congress, are veterans these days, so that's problematic as well.
Yes, it is. It does make it a little bit harder to ask these legislators to try to juggle this small percentage that we represent as the military in Minnesota with a larger percentage that aren't when it comes to certain things and where they're going to put their allotment money and so forth. But we firmly believe, and I would hope that the public would pull behind us saying that we need to support those of us that have honored and respected and lived and are injured for life or whatever for life to support our great country and our state.
And the Commander's Task Force gives you the opportunity to bring together your collective memberships of all of those veteran service organizations and go up and ask our legislatures to keep the promise, take care of our veterans.
Yes, we do. There's there'll be a Veterans Day at the Hill coming up, and as the Commander's Task Force will be hosting a luncheon for legislators to kind of, for just us and them one-on-one here almost and try to encourage them to help us support our activities that we're supporting.
That's some great work. Jerry, we just got about 30 seconds left. There's kind of an important birthday coming up.
The Marine Corps birthday, 1775, November 10th, which is next Thursday week, if you're from down south. This will be the 1921 was the first organized birthday ball to celebrate and honor with the rituals and traditions of the Marine Corps League. And this is our 95th one this year, celebrating our overall 241st anniversary. I'm looking forward to it.
Jerry, I hope you have some good get-togethers, particularly up towards Brainerd, where you're from, and I want to thank you for coming on the show again.
Oh, thank you so very much, Tom. It's been my pleasure.
That was Jerry Walters, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. Please stay with us. In a moment, we're going to have some special guests in the studio to recognize a rather important milestone that we've arrived at on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment today, we've got some special guests in the studio to mark a milestone that we're crossing on this show, which is our 330th hour of programming for Minnesota Military Radio. And joining me now is Andrew Lee, who's the executive producer here at Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. Andrew, welcome to your studio.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite.
And Jeff Tyler, who's the regional president of iHeartMedia. Mr. Tyler, welcome back.
Thank you. They never let me in here normally, so this is good.
Oh, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We have the sign on the door, no Jeff's allowed.
No Jeff's allowed.
Oh, no bosses. And we have another boss. We have the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for taking my name off the door, too, and allowing me in.
Well, just as long as we remember the rules. Now, the rules of the show is no politics, Mr. Lee.
Okay, all right.
No acronyms, Sergeant Major, and no cussing to whoever else we want to say that to.
That would be directed to Jeff right there.
We don't say that to the boss. Well, Mr. Lee, it's been quite a run. 6 years of Minnesota Military Radio.
Congratulations.
And when I first met you, what we had in mind was just a little one-hour radio show on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m.
Yeah, my idea was to do sort of a public affairs one-hour Sunday show focusing on the stories of Minnesota, members of the Minnesota military, veterans, active members, family members, things like that. Let them give them an opportunity and a venue to come in and share their stories of being in the service. And man, you've taken that idea and just run with it, and it's grown into this this amazing show that you guys have been working on for all this time. The little seed of idea has turned into an amazing plant.
You give an old veteran just a little bit of room, and you don't know what's going to happen. But we went out, and we got the Minnesota National Guard involved as a producer, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs all participate in the show, and they all help produce and bring in guests. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we also included the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the county veteran service officers all over the state, Director Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is on every 4 weeks. And, of course, the Command Sergeant Major comes in every 4 weeks to let us know the real story at the Minnesota National Guard. Right, Sergeant Major?
I do my best to do that for you, Tom.
Mr. Lee, I don't think you would have imagined when we first met that we'd have all of those people involved and that you'd get to ride on a C-130, mm-hmm. a Black Hawk helicopter, mm-hmm. Broadcast from Camp Ripley.
Couple times.
And the highlight of your life so far, spend a couple of nights in a barracks in the deserts of Kuwait.
That was an amazing trip, and thank you so much to you personally and everyone else involved in putting that broadcast and that trip together. That was an amazing, life-changing experience.
Sergeant Major, did he look like one of your soldiers out there in the desert?
How can I answer this politely?
Well, he didn't have his uniform on.
Right. Yeah. Let's just say that he looked like somebody who was there willing to support and have a good time with our soldiers and bring a taste of Minnesota.
What a safe
many
answer.
Thousand miles away.
And, of course, it was 111 degrees and a dusty sandstorm and out on the stage all afternoon. And then the next morning, you broadcast your show, and we brought along some folks from the fan, and they broadcast live. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that we'd the Minnesota National Guard ever had two live broadcasts going from halfway around the world.
It was crazy, and it was amazing. And honestly, the best part was getting to serve those meals to the troops with the Serve Our Troops group out of St. Paul, getting to serve those steak dinners to the troops. They were so appreciative and so grateful, and it was really humbling to be a part of that.
Well, it was a long way to go, but the lesson of it was to see the conditions that our soldiers live in mm-hmm. when they're over there doing their duties. And I didn't hear or see any one of them crabbing about it. They were just taking care of business,
yep,
getting it done, and thrilled that we would pay attention enough to come over and talk to them and have them on the radio.
It was nice because, to get some new faces around was clearly meant a lot to them. So everybody was very open and willing to engage in conversations and share stories and just be able to, tell some stories to some new people instead of the same people over and over was really one of the highlights of the trip.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we've been speaking to Jeff Tyler, Andrew Lee, and Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham about 6 years on the radio. And, Mr. Tyler, I want to come to you now. And I don't think a lot of the listeners understand that iHeartMedia caused this all to happen. You provide the airtime on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, an hour every Sunday morning for free. Mm-hmm. An engineer to help produce the show, the studio, public service announcements, and about 5.5 years ago, we got complaints that they couldn't hear the show up at Camp Ripley, and we got the go-ahead from Mr. Lee and, of course, you and your predecessor to go ahead and build a network, mm-hmm. and we started with two radio stations up at Little Falls, and as of a few months ago, we now have the show aired every weekend on 36 radio stations all over Minnesota, thanks to iHeartRadio and thanks to you and iHeartMedia for allowing us to come on the air and tell these stories.
Well, I mean, obviously my predecessor, Mike Crusham, working with Andrew, came up with the idea to let everything happen, facilitated it, and it was my pleasure to keep that going. In fact, one of my first things here a couple of years ago was Mike's going away party, and you were there, had a chance to meet you, and Mike pulled me aside and said, here's what they do, here's what's going on, here's how we have to support them, and absolutely my pleasure to keep that going. To be able to go up to Camp Ripley myself and the Black Hawk and meet some of the folks in the Military National Guard here in Minnesota, it's a unique group. I mean, I did some things when I was in Wisconsin with the National Guard there, but there are some highly unique aspects to Minnesota's soldiers, to the families, to the whole atmosphere of the National Guard here in the Minnesota area. So absolutely my pleasure to keep it going. The network is credit to you for your hard work, Tom, and diligence and getting them to understand what the show is all about and why it was an advantage to put it on the air. And for us to make it available is very, very simple. And again, just a small portion of what we can do to support our troops.
Well, thank you, sir. And Mr. Tyler, I just want to make sure some of our listeners understand that it's my understanding in radio and TV that if you create content, that's money. That's your content. You don't share it with anybody. But for the last 5.5 years, you've been sharing what we produce here every week with all of your competitors all over the state, essentially. And that's highly unusual in the radio business, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. There are some syndication things that are out there. I think this is a, kind of a labor of love, a labor of passion, a labor of support. I think it crosses lines that are not necessarily business. This is more about, creating a great program that serves a real need in not only the community, but the community of the Guard. It just makes sense to let anybody that wants it have it.
So. Really a big public service to be able to share the stories that we tell every week about services and resources available for our veterans and their families and about all the organizations that are out there these days supporting our veterans, our service members, and their families. Way different than it was 44 years ago when I got back from Vietnam. There was no such support.
Right.
And today there's a lot of it, and to be able to bring that information to all those listeners for over all those stations has really been an honor for me. And Sergeant Major, I know that you've got some thoughts on the Minnesota National Guard's had a lot of fun with this, and we've been able to tell a lot of stories about the military in Minnesota.
Well, that's what one of the great things, of course, about this program is, not only that we get to reach all of our veterans, do some education across the state. But we get to share the story about the Minnesota National Guard, Minnesota's citizen soldiers, and the capabilities that we bring to the fight, not only for our federal government in the time of our nation's need, but in the time of local need, state level, or of course, even at the very local city, township type of level as well. So it's great to share what we can do and tell good stories, great stories about soldiers and airmen from the Minnesota National Guard and what they do.
And of course, we're a purple show, and we have all the reserves on from the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, and we've been able to bring, make it all inclusive and purple, and bring all of those all those services together and tell their stories as well. And over 6 years, that was a lot of shows and a lot of information, Mr. Lee.
A lot of great stories.
And they've been fun to tell, and we should let our listeners know we're coming up on a big anniversary, the 75th anniversary of December 7th, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor, and we'll have a special show coming up on that. And as usual, Mr. Lee, we're going to do another Christmas special. Mm-hmm. We're going to have on a guy that was a POW in a prison camp for 7 years in Vietnam, and we're going to have on the full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard and talk about the real meaning of the holidays and resilience of our troops over the holidays. And you were in the desert with us on a non-holiday, but can you imagine being there on Thanksgiving or Christmas or some of those holidays and the loneliness?
Yeah, it's got to be a strain. You know, it's got to be a challenge.
Well, we're going to tell those stories and keep telling them as long as we can. And Mr. Tyler, on behalf of everyone that contributes, all our volunteers, our producers, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and myself, thank you very much for allowing us to be on the air and for allowing us to continue telling these stories.
You're certainly welcome, and you have all our support going forward. Just keep up the good work. Make us proud.
Sergeant Major, 30 seconds left. They're yours.
Well, thank you. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we've been able to reach over 200,000 listening people, I guess, every week, which is just a great deal. We want to continue to build that network. And another great thing is over 20 awards, or up to 20 awards now that this show has earned. And it's from the support that we get from iHeart Media and, of course, the listening audience. And it's great to be a part of this wonderful program.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Mr. Tyler, thanks very much for finding your way into the studio.
Thank you. It's been a nice adventure.
And Andrew, since this is your studio, will you get the last comment?
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on the program, and it's an honor to be associated with it. And really, this entire experience over the last 6 years has just been incredibly rewarding, and I am grateful to you and to the National Guard and everybody that's involved in putting this program together. So thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. We have one announcement today. The annual Shop, Ship, and Share program, sponsored by the American Legion and U.S. Postal Service, happens on December 2nd and 3rd at Maplewood Mall, when volunteers will assemble the care packages for shipments to our troops who will not be coming home during the holidays. You can help by donating items with a tax-deductible donation for postage. If you have the name and address of a deployed serviceman or woman, please let us know, and we'll send them a package or two as well. Please call 612-499-1403 for more information. We're just about out of time. If you've got a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Trudell Guerrero, Jerry Walters, Andrew Lee, and Jeff Tyler from iHeartMedia, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about toys for military kids and continue looking into the Native American Indian Heritage Month. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.